And we know that you are here, having been proven that you are, and we suppose many people would acquiesce to that with different thoughts of believing that that is simply the baptism with the Holy Ghost, but we do believe you personally are here, that you came down, and then comes the great question, why are you here? And we know that that also has several answers, but the great answer here is what Brother Branham gave us, who said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it, and we know that that is what really matters, because now, having been judged by that word and been found faithful and having been found virgin bride, we know that the great work has been accomplished, and therefore we can rest assured this morning that word piled upon word, the conduit of the Holy Ghost brings more of God into our lives. The very spirit that people talk of as having been baptized into and by, in no way could they possibly have that promise fulfilled to them, because they deny the very fact of what that word is declared and been manifested to be true, the very presence of God Himself bringing that revealed word to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we are privy to it, that we are in that place of perfection that your own apostles and prophets gave to us. And we thank you, Lord, that it is fulfilled in a group of people of which we claim to be a part this morning. Help us, Lord, to abide in the shadow of the Almighty upon that solid rock, receiving the word full of life, which gives us more and more life, the inner man being renewed, until one day it overflows into those who are predestinated to be changed into immortal beings and taken to the wedding supper. We thank you, Lord, we are privy to it this morning, and if we will not be here when that great moment comes, at least we are looking forward with those who will be here, knowing we are a part of the same. Unto you we give glory and honor through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 17 this morning of things that are to be, and in our last study, we found Brother Branham still admonishing the women concerning their dress and the men concerning their doctrine. He made it plain that if one is truly a child of God by the gene of God in the soul, there will be a positive response to the Word of God concerning what he is saying, and women will no longer dress in their present manner of wearing men's clothes or exposing themselves, while the men will heed the truth. And by the truth, assume correct headship as to doctrine and then conduct. In other words, the establishing of the home in the church, which is not being done in too many instances. We thank God we see a great deal of it done here. He then illustrates the tremendous importance of believing the invitation of the word, and that's the word he's giving, and dressing according to the invitation to be a part of the marriage supper, and then go on to the millennium dressed in their garments afforded by the host for the wedding supper, which, of course, precedes the millennium. Now, we'll find that given to us here in paragraph 108 on page 34. We're not taking much preamble because we don't need to. In Matthew, I've got a scripture here. I'm watching the scripture, Matthew 22, 1-14. I haven't got time to read it because it's getting too late. I've spoken too long to you. But remember, the king sent forth and made a supper. He killed all of his oxen and fixed the fatlings and everything and had a great supper prepared. And he sent out and he bade many to come. One said, well, you know, after all, I belong to this and I've got this and I've got to go to my farm, and one did many things. He sent again, and they evilly mistreated them. Now, that was the Jewish generation Jesus was talking to. They had something else to do. Then finally, he sent him and said, go, just compel them. Go into the streets and highways and everywhere and compel them to come in. Now, we mentioned last time there that the multiple servants were simply servants, but at the end, it was just one that went forth to compel them. And, of course, we know only the Holy Spirit has compelling influence upon people. And that compelling influence, of course, is already predisposed by the individual upon whom the word falls as to whether that person has that gene of God, which we'll see as we go along here. Now, he said, compel them to come in. And after that, he determined that his wedding supper was going to be set. So, all right, after that one that went out to compel them, there is no recourse except to set the wedding supper. Now, it doesn't mean that that's going to be instantaneous, but it does mean there is no revocation, there is no rescinding the wedding. It must go on, and it must go on in the present condition, that is to say, of those who have been compelled to come in, not according to what somebody else might possibly conceive and set as their standard. In other words, either taking from or adding to what is already predetermined. So it's predetermined there's going to be a wedding supper. It's set. And there were going to be guests there. That's predetermined also. And then he found a man in there, and he came to the building where the wedding was, and he did not have on a wedding garment. He wanted to hold to the old coat. Now, Brother Branham is beginning to explain this situation. And look what he said. That's the one at the door who was there handing out the garments and so on. And he puts it in the first person, though, of the bridegroom, which is all right. And look what he said. Friend, after I've invited you to my wedding supper, and not only invited you and gave you an invitation to come, and I'm adding this because it's the thought, but I made preparation for you by way of the wedding garments right here, with which, of course, the person would not be a legitimate guest. All right. Now, he's talking to Brother Kopp here. And if you were ever in the Orient, which I preached in there many times, that wedding supper is still carried on just the way it was. And that's true. The bridegroom has only so many guests that he's going to have. Probably, Brother Kopp, probably you watched it there in India. They just have so many guests that he's going to ask. Now, it's a predetermined list. So, therefore, it's a matter of the guests being predestinated according to their names on that particular record, right? They just have so many guests he's going to ask. Say he's going to ask 30 guests, and that's it. Now, the bridegroom, and that's the emphasis, has to furnish the robes. It is mandatory to furnish them. See? Therefore, there's a man who stands at the door, and you come up with your invitation. He examines your invitation and puts a garment on you, a robe, that is. Some of them are rich and some are poor, and some of them are different, one from each other. That's race, color, and so on, no doubt. But they all look alike when they get those robes on. They all look alike. And you have to all be alike. You aren't going to be able to say, I'm Methodist over there, I'm Presbyterian over there. Oh, no, you aren't going in there in the first place. Well, so you wouldn't have a voice anyway, because you're not even getting in there. See, because no doubt you come in the door here, and there's like a foyer, and then you might take a peek at the wedding table, but you're not going to get there and sit down. It's just no way, because no doubt, if your name is on that roster, and which you'd be predestinated to have your name there, and you'd be predestinated to be there, and therefore there'd be a robe predestinated for you. See, then no doubt you'd have your name on the name card at that table. Remember, just like at the Last Supper, John was leaning on the bosom of Christ. And some said, well, I'd like to be on his right hand, I'd like the left. And Jesus said, could you think you could pay the price? Oh, yeah, we could pay the price. They didn't even know what they're talking about. Well, he said, I can tell you right now, you couldn't pay the price. And if you did, it's already predetermined who's going to be there. It's not price paying. It's not this. It's not that. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, of him that this and him that that. It's God's predestinating through his omniscience and his omnipotence. So you could, if your name wasn't on that card, you wouldn't be sitting there, see? So, all right, this is a very formal situation we're looking at, and strange to say, it's exactly what it's going to be like. It doesn't vary from the what is here outlined as an illustration. It's actually the truth. Now, they all look alike. You have to be like, Sam Methodist, I'm Presbyterian. Oh, no, you aren't going in the first place. See, you've got to come by the door. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Now, of course, here you're getting something which, or you might call very trite, because people shoot right back and say, well, listen, don't tell me I don't know Jesus. Well, my question would be, what Jesus do you know? Because this is a very valid question when they would try to ask you, are you insane? What do you mean? What Jesus is there? My Bible tells me in the first age, they had another Jesus, they had another spirit, they had another gospel. So if you start out with one, how many do you end up with? You can end up with a complete multiplicity. And that means simply this, you can make this one Jesus 45 different characters or 145 different characters with 145 different messages, with 145 different ways, and there's total confusion. Now, this Jesus is a total person, and we're looking at him as the one who became the door. All that comes by him go into the Father, and remember, at the wedding supper, the Spirit that's in our midst today is God himself, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, one God, will incarnate himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as it was at the River Jordan. All right. So, you'll notice here then that this host, this bridegroom, makes them ready for the wedding supper. Now, you'll notice that he himself makes them ready. Now, everything is prepared. The table is prepared. The chairs are prepared. The name plate's prepared. The food is prepared. Garments are prepared. The people are prepared. Their names match. They're already manifested as the children of God, but they're not ready. They're not ready. Now, this is where John the Baptist came in. He made ready the prepared people by turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. By turning all those who were the fathers, the prophets, and all that word was turned to focus upon him who was that great one which was to come. That great prophet one, that great son of man, the great son of God. And John the Baptist, without him, they would not have been able to recognize him. Now right away someone would say, I'm sorry, but I don't buy that because I know I would. And I know you're a liar. Though sweet, nice, and beautiful, not ugly and mean like Lee Dale up here. You're just a liar, that's all. But because you're making God a liar. See? Now, John had to have a very special way of knowing him. And nobody else had that special way. Now, they could feel something, no doubt. And they could infer something. And they get excited. That wasn't it. Did they know him? No, not without John. Not without John. No, no, no. And people in their fervor killed him. And they're going to do it again at the end time. But he won't die, they'll die. When you crucify something to yourself, it means you crucify yourself. When you destroy the bonds that are made up to yourself, it means you lost the bonds, you suffer. So if you crucify to yourself, it means you are going to get crucified. The one that digs the ditch will fall into it. The one that tells the lie will have his lies come back upon him. The one that stole will have his flesh burned with his stolen goods. Now that's the truth. You simply can't go by the word. You simply can't mean it. Now, no one else can make you ready. No one else. I don't need John the Baptist. I don't need William Branham. Hallelujah, I got Jesus. You're a liar. Oh, you're a nice liar. But you're a rotten liar. Because your heart's filthy. You're despicable. You're not a guest. You're not going to make it. Now, see, now, Brother Bale, you went and got mean and vulgar and rotten again. Oh, you just pray for me because I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. If I go to hell and burn, I'm not going to change. Because there's something in here that says God doesn't change. You don't fool with God. Oh, yes, we fool with Him, but we can't fool with Him ultimately. He let a lot of things go and go and go, but you watch, one day He's going to have His word fulfilled. You watch. And it's being fulfilled right now, and nobody's listening. I'm Methodist. I'm Baptist. I'm Christian. See, you're not even going to make it. See? Now, notice, no one else can do this. And this is not only 1 Corinthians 15, the shout, which is the klusma, where God Himself is bringing everything into submission in order to have a reincarnation and everything put under the feet of Jesus where He's reigning and ruling supreme. Because He is, He's got to have it until the kingdom is handed back to God. But actually, I believe that this is what we're looking at, these garments at the wedding supper. Now, this is Omega now. Is Ephesians 5, where it says here, husbands, love your wives, that's verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church, identical manner, and gave Himself for it. Now, that's the man and the proper doctrine. In the end time, where the women are dressing right. See, the men at the end time, they got chaste, beautiful wives that reserve themselves for them. They don't present themselves. They're not headstrong, big mouths. We've had them here. They're on the world. You're going to keep having them. But what about these men? They love their wives in identical manners Christ loved the church. Now you start listing all the fruit in Jesus and you'll see what's required in men. I know women think they're getting a rotten shake because we talk about their clothes. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. God told me to wear a bone in my nose and put on stilts and wear the goofiest things in all the world. And I could, that was it. Like the Jews washing their pots and pans and killing an animal. If that was it, hey, I'd do it day and night, nothing to it. But it's a whole lot deeper than that, where it shakes your soul. You've got to put yourself under it. Brother Branham says in Crucifixion. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had it easy. This is a trying life that tries men's souls and rips people apart. Starting with getting your doctrine right. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify them by thy truth, and thy truth is the word. Notice that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Now He's talking about Messiah. An original Messiah is God Himself, the rock, the pillar of fire, and the whole thing that came down by His own will and embodied Himself in Jesus and thereby shed blood. So we're talking now about this one that comes down, 1 Thessalonians 4, and that's Elohim, Jehovah Elohim Himself. And now what is He doing? He's washing the church by the washing of water, the Word, which, now notice, the Word is the sanctifier. So therefore you and I are separated from Methodist, Baptist, and every person living by the Word. Well, bless God, Brother Vale. I know I'm a fine person inside. And, oh, shut up. Doesn't anybody understand what I'm saying? These are keys. Oh, no, Brother Vale. That's just symbolical. I got a lot of meaning to those. Oh, good God. Get out of here. Keys. Word. Oh, Brother Vale, the blood separated me. You're a liar. Huh? Oh, this did and that did. You see, you're still wrong. Well, should we go home? Or should we sit and get full of the Holy Ghost? Because word upon word, you get more of the Holy Ghost. I know you don't believe that, do you?
I've been saying the last three Sundays, there's how many really believe you got more Holy Ghost last time, and that you're going to get more of the Holy Ghost this time? Well, it's up to you to believe what you want to believe. But somebody's going to get it. Now, he said here, by the washing of water by the Word. Now, you can call it bleeding word, you can call it anything you want, but this is a last day message where God presents the church to himself, incarnated in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, having taken us up to the wedding supper, incarnating himself in that body, in the only body singular he incarnates fully into. You know that, and I know. The fullness of the Godhead body, we crown him King of kings and Lord of lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the King of kings, the altogether lovely, the Rose of Sharon, the all in all. Lord Jesus Christ, Elohim, Jehovah, El Elah. The shepherd, the sanctifier, the peace, the righteousness, everyone. And there isn't anybody else. See? All right. That's the saying. That's where Brother Branham said Jesus was God, but he wasn't God. So now we have this beautiful picture here. Now it says right here, it's a glorious church. It won't have a spot. It won't have a wrinkle or any such thing, but it shall be holy and without blemish. Now, what was that blemish? The blemish was the woman soured on the man she was to marry and committed adultery. That's the one blemish a woman cannot be justified from, on the ground she did it, and there's nothing you can do about it, but she can be forgiven. Now, remember, the Brother Branham said the bride was tricked into it, and she didn't do it at all. So therefore, we have a perfect return to virginity. Now, how does this take place? Now, we understand this. There's no problem there. It tells you right here. Wherefore, in Ephesians, the first chapter, this 17th verse. And he's praying that at the end time, which must occur, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And you may fully understand what that word is in the bride. Now, most people don't understand. They don't have a clue. And Brother Branham and his great ministry, which God gave him in end time Elijah, is merely used as a gimmick to go on his coattails to make a name for themselves. Now, we don't believe in that. See? Now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Now, that's after this other takes place. If you don't get this here, which is a word definitive revelation concerning God and ourselves, then let's get this flat. There is no going in. See? You just can't sit in these meetings. You got to believe what's being taught to you. And I'm doing my best to go back and forth with Brother Branham on the Word. Believe me, this is not my own thinking, because I never had any on this subject. Okay? All right. And set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now, Brother Branham has been teaching us categorically, and you'll find this in different messages. He mentions that there are three times the Bible is fulfilled, and that being I'm in the Father, you and me, and I and you. That was at Pentecost, that is this hour, and at the white throne. Now, Brother Branham categorically tells us concerning the great, marvelous, experience, transformation is not really the right word, revelation as to our true status, put it that way, is a complete identification with Christ, and he is the Word. Now, if we go back to page 33, and paragraph 105, Brother Branham is speaking of matching time. And he says, if the Joneses have red paint on their steps, the neighbors paint their steps red. If they have a Chevrolet, they'll change from Ford to Chevrolet. And Brother Branham talks of the women in the church having their hair done a certain way. And, you know, then the women follow it. But he says, I want my experience to match God's Word. Now, running around the world, you got all these preachers trying to match you with Pentecostalism and everything that's out there and is not the Word. Stick to the Word. As I said, Brother Bosworth would not even pray for anybody with bad teeth because he said, Jesus didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it either. Now, that man was with the Word, and Brother Branham was with the Word. I don't know if he prayed for teeth or not. I wouldn't find that a hard thing to do on the very grounds that I'm the Lord that healeth. He didn't say what part of the body he wouldn't. But I like Brother Bosworth's exemplary stand with that word. Now, Brother Branham here is talking about identifying ourselves with Christ. Now, I can only find one portion of Scripture that comes to my mind that I really do enjoy on the grounds of a complete identification which is maturing in this hour and will soon come into eternity because time and eternity have blended. And it's over here in Hebrews, the second chapter. Now, if we read the Hebrews, the second chapter, you've got to read the first chapter because one follows the other. And it says in here, God, who in many parts and many ways spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, that's chapter 1, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now you notice that Jesus there was the agent of creation in this literal sense, that the Son of God, actually born of God, came from God, God used him. And that, you know, we know positively that how God did it. God was in Christ reconciling the world. That's a human body. God was in this one which came forth as a light. And he would now watch what it says about him, being the effulgence or the outraying, the brightness of his glory. Now, when you talk about the brightness of his glory, you mean the full assessment. What can we attribute to God? How can we actually make God, with all his facets, with all his Godheadedness, his wisdom and his omniscience and his love and whatever God is, how are we going to assess it? How are we going to look at it? What is there that we can see presented that would go back and say, yes, 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 I can see. I'm beginning to comprehend and therefore apprehend what lies in God. You all know what I'm saying? It says right here. And the expression of his person. The express image or the very expressing of his person. See? The totality. And upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than any angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So you notice right there that God Almighty has given an inheritance. And notice the inheritance goes back to a book that is written, because he never said to angels. Something was said. And what is it? Thou art my son. This day have I begun my generations in thee. Huh? Then what was the inheritance that was in Jesus? The inheritance lay in the word that God gave to him in particular. Right? So therefore the inheritance in the saints is identical. It is the word that God gave to them. That is their inheritance, that word that God set aside. Now remember, Jesus is a testator. And a testator means he gave a testament, which means a will. And the will is not in effect until the testator dies. Then to make it fully effective, he's got to rise from the dead and make sure those who to whom it was given are going to get it. Now we're looking at it right here. I've begun my generations in you. I've begun my family in you. Here's where people simply don't understand what we are talking about. That's where it started in order to eventually become flesh which did not become flesh until maybe thousands and thousands, millions of years later. Huh? Most people don't understand. We're going to hit this here, and I mean we are going to hit it. From Brother Branham. They haven't got a clue. Now let's go a little further. We're going to go, never mind all of this. Let's go right here. Second chapter now. We read it. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now look at by the grace of God. Oh, you say, just a minute, that was so horrible. God gave him great grace. I beg your pardon. I'm going to read it a different way. It was the grace of God that allowed him, that gave him the privilege. And look where it led him. And God's grace, Brother Branham talks about here, his garment of sacrifice and death, a privilege. And you go to your Bibles, you're going to find they counted it a privilege. The Hebrew children were snuffing and snorting and blowing their noses and shuffling and wondering what it was all about. Nor Joseph, nor Daniel. And Hebrews 11. It was a privilege. It was the grace of God that allowed it. Now, so we see here, God allowed that he should taste death for every man. For it, not every man, it's every son. That word man should be in italics. For it became him, now watch, from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now there again, you see, it's hard for your mind and my mind to accept that. It's just like you can't get the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecost to accept this message, even though it's vindicated. Now watch. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. What is the identification today, brothers and sisters of Christ? That's where your Melchizedek sermon of strong meat comes in, that we came identical to him as brothers and sisters, except we bypassed that word body or spirit body, which Brother Branham called a theophany. Now, oh, yes, said the people, Brother Bale's got two gods. And I'm going to tell you something. They are not brothers and sisters of Jesus, according to my record. And they cannot identify. Because this does not say he is God. It says he is the Son of God. Though the very substance in him was of God. And we'll find here, if you don't have a substance of God, you and I are not brothers and sisters. Or shut up. At least don't condemn yourself any further. You're condemned now. Because as you pile word upon word, full of the Holy Ghost and righteousness to a proper and perfect stature, so you pile word upon word of condemnation. Until you're perfectly unrighteous. You think there's some white blackbird? Some drunk sober man? You better get your Bibles and find out it isn't so. You believe what you want to believe. I'm telling you the truth. The identification is brotherhood. Fatherhood. How can you have your elder first brother comatose and he is interceding for you? He's alive from the dead. We'll never die again, my elder brother, your elder brother. With whom we're perfectly identified by one source, having come the same way, except for one thing. And he had to wait for his body to be tested and tried and tempted.
Well, you and I were dumped into ours instantaneously. Right. I'm Pentecostal. I'm this, I'm that. That doesn't mean one thing. Oh, mean, dirty old Brother Branham. Isn't he a chauvinistic pig when it comes to these denominations? Why, he's worse than that. He's of the devil. Chauvinistic pigs are not bad. It's these devils like William Branham with their familiar spirits that can tell you things. Well, that's strange. A familiar spirit can tell you things right in the dot, never lying, and the most holy God who never lies can't do it through them. There's something wrong somewhere. I think they are worshiping the devil, and we alone are worshiping God. At least they got some phony baloney somewhere. Back to the parable. And this man, when he said, how did you get in here, friend? Notice he calls him friend. See, it showed he came up some other way. He came through a window, came in the back, but not through the door. The way that Jesus came, through self-sacrifice, giving your all to God and walking to Calvary and be crucified with him and rise again to wear his garment of sacrifice and death to the things of the world. Now, just a minute. Let's just get the scripture here. We got a scripture that says that by the washing of the water, we're separated, we're sanctified. We're sisters and brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually sons of God. There's no sex. You don't have to identify with the sex. The Bible just calls sons and daughters, in, what is it, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I don't know their place. But they're sons of God. By virtue of the fact they bear the life, it's all in type, is what you're looking at. And then it says here, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Now, would you believe for one minute that Jesus was sanctified any other way? Now, come on, if we're identified, and he said, sanctify them by thy word is truth, then how was he sanctified? I'll tell you how. He said, I came to fulfill every one of your words, and I've done it. Now give me the glory that I remember. And when we are perfectly sanctified by this word, surely full of the Holy Ghost and qualified now for immortality, we can say, now, Lord, give me the glory that I can't even remember about, but it's here in your word. And he'll bring you right back to the place we're bringing you this morning. Your inheritance is in the word, and some of that word you and I might not know that's written in the book we're going to see when we get there. See, that's what, you know, it's strange. A lot of things written in the book. Aren't they? We don't even believe it, do we? Okay, let me go back to Genesis. You get an idea how conked up we are here and how dumb everything is. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there went up a mist from the whole earth. Now it says in verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed not the breath of life. Now what preceded it? A mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It's a beautiful condition. What's ahead of that? Verse 5. Every plant is there. All growing. Everything is very nice. And then it said there wasn't a man to till the ground. What were we put here for in the first place? To till the ground, right? All this farmland, all this glorious farmland there, like an Eden, stretched out before us. And then even a very special place that God designed even better than anything out there. Now he said, you go in there and till the ground. You're a farmer. You start working. That's where Brother Branham said, these people think they're going to float around in the cloud and just dream in dreamland. I got news for you. If you don't like your work here and don't like your sweat, don't bother going there. That's right. Don't bother going there. If you hate work, if you can't push yourself, like Brother Branham, he said, I'll work my fingers to bone till they bleed for my wife and kids. You can give some people around here thousands of dollars. They say, I want more. People don't want to work. Well, forget it. You ain't going there. You wouldn't like it. Huh? Kind of hits right home, doesn't it? That's why the Bible distinctly says a man that doesn't work, he ain't going to eat. I'm tough. You bet your life I hang tough. I've got a right to hang tough. You can give people thousands and thousands of dollars, and they gripe and groan because they had to work a little bit. Yeah.
work for my wife and kids, and believe me, I'd be glad to work for nickels and dimes. Not worry about vacation and spending money and running this and having three or four cars and everything else. Even walk. I'm hitting pretty close to home. I don't give two bits of a rap. I've been through it. Yeah. Brothers and sisters of Jesus, do you know what this one's called, Jesus? He's called the last Adam. Work, 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 work. So I'm going back and do some more work, he said. Oh, Brother Bale, you shouldn't preach those nasty sermons. Well, I got a nasty Bible. I got a nasty prop. I got a nasty guard, have I? Work is therapeutic. If he hadn't taken time off to shoot her mouth with the devil, she wouldn't have had the problem. Work never hurt anybody. Now, I'm going to quit belaboring because I don't think it's going over too good. But that's all right. See? This man says, he said, how'd you get up here? See? How'd you get here? Come in the back door. How'd you get in? Whose idea was it? Now, this what we read here, some other way he came in, this pertains to the Omega of the Alpha Hour. Now, the reason I said that is because Brother Branham is saying this to the people in that building. And this is the Omega. How are they coming? They're coming through churches that claim to have the ultimate when they cannot back it up. They are advertising and they don't have the goods. And that's known as false advertising, and the government can shut you up. Because when you advertise that you've got tomatoes at 25 cents a can to get people to come into your store and buy beans at a dollar a can when the fella down the street selling them for 90 cents, and then you don't produce the tomatoes for 50 cents or two bits, you are falsely advertising and you can be fined. Now these guys are advertising. Come by me the Baptist. Come by me the Presbyterian. Come by me here. And Brother Branham never ever said, you come by me. He said, you come by the one who's vindicating this word that I'm teaching you right now. God's backing up. So you see, the churches aren't the door. The churches aren't the door. And everybody that dies in these churches, less than 5 minutes after they die, they find out that the priest's prayers and the church membership can't do a thing for them except condemn them. I don't want to wake up like that. I want to find myself on the other side in the virgin condition, which is a virgin of the Word. Now, Brother Branham distinctly says here, they're coming some other way. And they don't want to come to the way Jesus came, to self-sacrifice, giving your all to God. Now, what's he saying here? He's not saying that you and I are going to die upon the cross and suffer like Jesus Christ. He's telling you, you and I must be committed. Now, what committed Jesus? The Word, and what he was to the Word, in the Word, with the Word, and fulfilling the Word, brought him to that place. Now, are we going to be any less? Because I look at the sacrifice. Oh, Jesus died. Oh, Jesus shed his blood. Why? Oh, my. Oh, my. I better think that over. Now, why did he do it? Oh, yeah. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Where did that come from? The Word. If the house is not built of the Word, word upon word, you and I cannot claim to be fully full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, born again, yes. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, yes. Oh, yes, a baptism, yes, I no problem there. But what about the fullness that's in the Word here? So, if we are going to be like Jesus through self-sacrifice, giving our all to God, and walking to Calvary and be crucified with him, arise again to wear his garments of sacrifice and death to the things of the world, how's it going to be? It's only going to be done by the Word, because nobody even gets killed today for murder.
for rape, for sodomy, every filthy thing. They'll try to get you off, but you open your mouth. That's where they're going to get you. That's where they got Jesus. He said, for which good work do you condemn me? They said, for none, but you opened your big fat mouth. We don't agree with you, and you don't agree with us. And I don't care if you've got better apples and oranges than we got. You can do what we can't do. We're not interested, so drop dead. We're going to kill you. Now, that was Alpha. What do you think Omega is? That was in the green stick. What about the dry stick? You just wait. What's coming? Only the Word can tell you whether your sacrificing's in or in vain. I remember years ago when I went back preaching, I was still Pentecostal. My wife and I finally got a refrigerator. He wanted to give it to me because I sold his house for him. I said, no, I didn't ask for any money. And my friend wanted it, and he's very happy to get it at your price. And so I'm happy to do service for both of you. Well, finally the day come, we thought the church would have a bus for a Sunday school. Merciful God, a bus for a Sunday school. Talk about claptrap, balderdation, crap in a can. Sunday school. Junk. So we sold the refrigerator. Now we got a refrigerator. Next thing, didn't have the bus either. Oh, we sacrifice. Oh, we sacrifice. Find it in the Word. Find it in the Word. You can't find that kind of junk in the Word. You and I don't have one claim on anything, brother, sister, outside of this Word that God allowed. Because the Scripture cuts us right down past the bone where the marrow is and the cells are made. And it said God raises men up for a certain purpose. So it's not of him that willeth or him that doeth, but of God who shows mercy. In other words, the grace of God allowing. And there's only one way that we can tell we're properly in the Word, and that's by going to this Word and having the correct motivation to the Word. You say, just a minute. Don't just a minute me. Many will come in that day and say, have we not cast out devils? He said, I never knew you. What was your motivation? Huh? No, he couldn't have been motivated right. We would have got a credit for it. God would have said, well, at least I recognize you this far. He said, I never knew you. Yeah. You say, Brother Dale, I don't think he uses that tone of voice. It might be worse than mine. I may be very sweet alongside what's going to happen, because I can't give anybody fire and brimstone. I don't intend to. That's God's business. Now listen, he said, his garments are sacrifice and death to the things of the world. Now to the things of the world. Now watch. What is he talking about? He's talking about men and women in organization and listening and believing and doing according to those precepts. The doctrines of men, which they claim are based upon the doctrines of God, but they're wrong entirely. They just take the Bible and use it any old way they want to use it. Now, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. Now, just a minute. The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, right? Huh? And the Holy Ghost has one conduit, which is the Word. So he's telling you right here, if you've got the Word in you, like he said a while ago, you women would automatically stop and say, this has got to go now. If you've got to argue with me, women, as I told you about the slits at the back of your skirt that shows the back of your knee and shows perversion, because it's pointing to a wrong area, let's get it flat. It should be in the front. What Holy Ghost have you got? Don't talk to me as though you... Don't listen. Just forget it. I'm not going to listen to you. You better examine yourself. There's something wrong. Now, this is the Word test. You said, Brother Branham didn't say... He said, you don't show your knees. That's front and back. And the back's worse than the front. You better read a few books, kid, if you haven't read them. You'll know what I'm talking about. See? I'm not fussed about it. I'm just telling you, look, filth is filth. And Brother Branham said, that woman's got a filthy spirit on her. That little Mennonite girl that came, Brother Branham, it's okay to show my slip, he said, an inch below my petticoat, an inch below my skirt. He said, girl, what in the world would make you want to do that?
And that's an inch more of cover-up. But it suggests something. Underneath the skirt is the slip, and underneath the slip are what? And underneath is what? Oh, your filthy mind, Brother Dale. Then Brother Branham had a filthy mind. And you ain't got one at all. Because you're insane.
You think I may have to eat those words? I doubt it.
I doubt it. You say, my Brother Dale, your 2 and 2 doesn't make 4, but my 2 and 2 does. That's what the preachers try to tell me, too. My 2 and 2 doesn't make 4.
Okay? If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. If you still love the world, want to act like the world and do like the world. Now, why are they doing it? Because they're off the Word.
What's the standard whether you're in the world or not? The Word. Huh? How do you know if the Word is true that we believe? By vindication. And what did the vindicated preacher say? He said, you women, you men.
Now, women got the easiest job. You just think you got the hard job. I got news for you. On Judgment Day, it's going to be tougher on the men because they're the guys that wanted you in the miniskirts and everything else. If you're going to skate on thin ice, the fire of hell, you watch what the men's, they ain't going to skate at all. They're supposed to be the strong ones. Strong. Pull sin with a cart rope. That's like a hawser on a ship. Now he said, you're simply in the church, a cockle burr in the patch with the wheat. Shout with the rest of them, rejoice with the rest of them, all the spiritual blessings right upon you. You say, well, I prophesy, so did Caiaphas. Oh, brother, that's a stinger right there. Crucified Jesus Christ in doing it. They're doing the same thing today. Hebrews 6, so did Balaam. Came right after Moses. And his prophecy is still coming to pass. Now that should be a world beater. But no, it was not the Word. It was only a prophecy. Huh? Let's have a word prophet. Same pillar of fire with Moses, with Paul, with William Branham. How many really believe that? You think they really believe in this message? Come on, they don't believe it.
And who came down to William Branham? The Lamb? Don't be ridiculous. He's on the throne. We wouldn't have a mediator, an intercessor. Who came down? Jehovah Elohim. Amen. Who came down in the garden? God came down. Elohim came down. Who came to Moses? Who came to Abraham? Who came to Paul? Who came to William Branham? Who took over Jesus Christ? Elohim.
Oh, I feel real good right now because I'm telling you the truth. Now, we're getting into the bombshell. So let's go to the bombshell. Now, this is not something you don't know. This is something you do know. But remember, he's speaking to that crowd out there. And he preached 4 sermons out there, and then he preached another one. The 3 at the coast, 1 in Yuma, and he went back home and preached communion. That was the end of it. This is that first one there. And you listen how he's talking to those people there, that mixed audience. He said, now, I've got the quote. I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That still has nothing to do with it. Now listen, that's just only a temporal gift for you. Just a minute. I'm born again by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So what?
That's like saying cows eat grass because grass is good for them. Now, excuse me when I'm using terms like this because I'm trying to do something. He said the baptism is only a temporal gift. The measure of the Holy Ghost poured upon you to quicken that seed is a temporal gift.
See?
It's just like putting water on a seed. That's all. Now the thing is, what if I poured water and no seed? Does it then say, well, Brother Dale, you didn't pour water? Aha, gotcha. You're wrong. Your thinking stinks. I poured water.
No seed.
The real gift is your soul down in there, see?
that was born or issued first from God. And that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God. And there you grow up.
Huh? Now the question is, did you get it? How do you grow up? By the Word of God.
Oh, I don't know that I really believe that, Brother Dale. Of course you don't, because you don't believe the Bible. He's over here in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, of whom we have Melchizedek, many things to say that are hard to be uttered, seeing you dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their very senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they can see and know it before them. I've made a test by the word, that's wrong. I've made a test by the word, that's right. I know what I'm talking about. Word! What is he talking about, word? He's talking about word in Melchizedek. And the Melchizedek sermon in this hour was God himself incarnate in human flesh. John 1:1. And he tells us, you and I came exactly as that one, and I put it on a board up here and showed you. And then Brother Bailey came by. I didn't know. Maybe I'd read it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't even hear it. Number one, man, God. Number two, Jesus. Number two, Adam. What's he talking about? The human race, his progeny coming, and they'll be human. And God himself became human through that Son, and no one else could he indwell. And Jesus came forth in his own manifested time roughly 2,000 years ago. But he was way, way back there waiting for it. And so were you and I. Now we got maybe 120 people come to this church. We got 120 gods. That's what the smart logistics expert said. Well, Lee, you got two gods. I said, just a minute. Do you believe you're a part of the God? Oh, yeah. Do you believe that a part is the eternal God? Yeah. And came into manifestation? Oh, yeah. I said, we've got 3 million more like you. 3 million gods. I don't care if you're an engineer, how smart you are. We got smart men sitting. I don't care how smart you are. I'll challenge you on this word this morning. Come on, stand beside me. I got no big education, but I do have the Holy Ghost. And I do have a gift. Come and stand beside me. Now, sure, you ain't got anything. You talk, but you haven't got it. You make a stupid statement like that. Basing my thoughts purely even upon Brother Branham's own bad English, to find out it's the purest English under God's high heaven. You say, Brother Dale, you shouldn't be. I'm not angry. I'm telling you facts. Just keep out of my hair. Go someplace else with your doctrine. You don't like me. You don't want me. Brother Branham said, get yourself somebody else. Won't stick around, wait to stab me. It won't matter. I've had my fifth rib hit so many times now, you couldn't do any of you trying. Do you hear what I read here? That controls the whole thing, that gene in your soul. The whole thing to the Word of God, and it controls it to it, and if you haven't got it, it veers away from it. The serpent said, surely, though God said, let me put you right away from it. And she said, do tell. And she went right from it. Now, she's going to be all right, but that's a foolish virgin class in my books, because she came back. She had redemption. But she had to go through that period of testing. That's a bad, bad deal. I'm going to leave that, because when hit types, I can't deal with that stuff. Illustration a little bit? Forget it. Not trying to make a doctrine. Now it says, there you grow up. See? Then you are a son and daughter of God. You are a child of God. Based upon what? The fact that gene is there that steers you to the Word. The thing is, what is the Word? Vindicated in this hour, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Real apostolic, once for all delivered faith. And remember, those 11 apostles had to acknowledge Paul. He had more than any of them when it came down to the true revelation as given to the Gentiles. And these things that you come up, like the mother now, you're in the bowels of the earth trying to come forth. Well, there's a baby trying to come forth. It's in from the earth. It's a little simile here. You're a son of God coming forth, and you see the words that I should do this. I should be born again. Well, I belong to church. Right away, he's against it, see? That doesn't mean one thinks I'm Methodist, my mother. That's good for your mother. Fine. Forget her. Well, I'm Pentecostal. I belong. If you don't line with that word, there's something wrong. Now, where is the wrong? It's down in the soul. In other words, it did not come from God. See? That's why Brother Branham calls it a word, calls it a gene. Then you see, your real father isn't God. Isn't that a slammer? If you don't believe this message I'm preaching vindicated, then you're claiming God is your father and you are a liar. As old Abraham said, you be careful how you pray, our Father which art in heaven, because the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and you might be just praying to him.
When you see our Father which art in heaven. Old Abraham had his good points. Yeah. Then you see your real father isn't God, see, because that real start in your soul, before there even was a spirit, it was your soul. That soul didn't come from God. In other words, if that soul didn't come from God, then it wasn't a germ of God to begin with. You're deceived. Brother, sister, will you please stop with me and just for one moment realize what Brother Branham's doing to that crowd? He's saying, you're a bunch of serpents. Boy, is that a way to give an invitation. They didn't catch it. Maybe one or two did. I hope they did. I sat there and believe me, I didn't get what I'm getting now. Just vaguely. You're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds and bearing, because you are a weed, and bearing the world's record of weeds that are coming forth, acting like the world, loving the world, because the love of God is not in you. Now, how can the love of God be not in them if they can acquire it outside of having a gene of God or a soul from God? Now, that's the whole premise. Now we're getting to William Branham, hardshell, hyper-Calvinist, antinomianist, and yet he's not. Because he doesn't bypass the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the blood and all of this word and just saying, well, hey, look, if you're seed, you're seed. If you ain't, you ain't. So who gives a rip? Let's just do what we're going to do because we're going to get it either way. It doesn't matter how it counts. If I'm supposed to be a goody-goody at the end time, I'll be a goody-goody. If I'm supposed to be a baddie-baddie, I'll be a baddie-baddie. So I'll do what I feel like and I want to do anytime I want to do it. And who knows and who cares? See, that's the kind of junk you go from. But Brother Branham wasn't that. He's letting these people who think they have the definitive and the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, which they attest to by speaking in tongues and miracles and everything else, and the lives that they live, and deny this word. He did not deny the word. She merely went around it. All the time talking the word. They still don't know the devil led in worship of God. They still can't believe he's got ministers of light. Wrong light. They give you a green light when there's a car coming the opposite direction. He's got a green light too. Boing. Oh yeah, their lights don't work. Yeah. Now let's watch this paragraph here. Are you getting the point? So, Brother Bale, what am I going to do? I've been telling you for years, it's the Word. Identify with the Word. Get your thinking out of the way. You think I don't need to get mine out of the way? How come it took me 4.5 hours of arguing to get one point with Brother Branham at one time?
took me days another time, and I still didn't get it 100%. I just got to let it rest. He said, so that's it. It may take me several thousand years of eternity to get what he was saying. I don't know. You know, the best friend we have is this book that condemns us with our wrong thinking to bring us to the right thinking. This is the book that says you're in debt, but I'll get you out. This is a book that says you're wrong, but I can make you right. See? Now, who even preached like this except the Apostle Paul? See? Who believes it and sees its relevancy or equates truth to love? That is, equates the truth to the love of God, meaning the love of God, there's no love of the world. And how do you know if it's the world or not? Now remember, Brother Branham said, they came to me when I said, women, change your dress, quit chopping off your hair, men, come on to the doctrine. And they said, Brother Branham, why don't you teach us spiritual things? He said, how can I teach them that if they don't know the ABCs, or algebra, they don't know ABCs? You see what I'm trying to tell you here? A woman that lives in that condition can never get the truth. She is serpent seed. And the man that allows it and wants it, he is the serpent seed. Because here is your ABCs. You say, that's a dress code. It's the right dress code. I get these guys with their black hats and their black suits. Forget it. They invented God. We did not invent God. We did not invent a dress. We went here under vindication by a prophet and found out what dress was all about. Had to make a black hat. Merciful God. And a black suit and call it God. Now how come they didn't do a better job on the thing over at the house there? Just give me a good old healthy sinner that's honest. And you men that work, Brother Banner said, don't you talk Jesus Christ on the job and witness. You work on that job. You weren't paid to come and preach and evangelize. Now, in the millennium, that's a different story. You can be like my old boss was when I used to paint houses for him. He loved me. And he knew I didn't have any money, but I was preaching, so he gave me some money and I worked for it. And he'd come and talk by the hour. He said, put your brush down. We're going to talk. That was good. I was digging also cesspools and things and putting in drains. And yeah, it was time to talk. I didn't mind because, he wanted to be right than I want. And it was all right. But you see, that's a millennium. We can put down the shovel the odd time, and maybe we'll just kind of like the chain gang. All right. Now, there'll be false anointed. That seed of the wrong kind ones in the last day, not false Jesuses. That people wouldn't stand for that, but false anointed. See? They are anointed. Yes, sir, but they are antichrist. Now remember, I said I can pour water, and if there's not a seed there, it won't do any good. And if I'm pouring water on what I think is a poppy seed, and it's another kind of a seed, both of those seeds will come up by that same water. But you better believe they'll be different. All right. They are anointed with the Spirit to do signs and wonders that Christ did, but won't line up with His Word. See? Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied and cast out devils in Thy name? And He will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never even knew you. Depart from me, you Cain. You follower of Cain, you son of Cain, you son of the serpent that invaded the human race. I was Pentecostal, Lord, glory to God. I shouted, I spoke with tongues. I laid hands on the sick and healed them and cast out devils. Hey, I did all of that myself. You know what finally came to me, though? Pure disgust. Pure disgust, not understanding. So one day I said to my wife, look, girl, you can dye your hair black, because I don't think I want to leave you. I could get another blonde. And I'll get me a Cadillac. And I'll go out there sinning, telling lies, whooping her up. And maybe then I'll have a great big ministry like all these guys out here. Yeah, I want a big ministry. I thought maybe big ministry, I'd get them all in, then I could sort of pin them down to the Word. It never did work. Every time I went to the Word, they walked off. I almost lost them. That's why I'm so happy for you idiots. You know, I'm just joking. To have you here. You haven't walked off. If I wanted to pay a certain price, there's no doubt I could pray and fast and lay hands upon you. You'd see miracle after miracle. I'm not interested. Because my brother in Christ, William Branham, said, take this message for your healing. Oh, man, if we'll ever let this word let go, it'll do something to our bodies. Because healing has not left this world. It is still here. He said, depart from me. Like Cain, I never knew you. I was Pentecostal. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. See, Cain took the good things in the Bible and he used them absolutely wrong for a wrong purpose. He had a wrong revelation. Oh, little children, do you feel the need of that vitamin tonight? In other words, there's something missing. And yet you're looking for that body yonder. There's a body waiting to be received. It's just right there waiting for you to come and get it. Now watch, back and forth he saws between, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said on a sermon, in my Father's house means like the house of Tudor, the great kings. They had many houses. The house of this prince, the house of that prince, the house of the other. See, all those mansions there. Now he's talking about bodies. Hey, looking to go to that spirit or word body we bypassed. Then looking to that to come right into the resurrection and come back here completely glorified, just like Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, travel with the speed of thought. And then this bird in down in Miami, he wanted me to go to a telephone booth in the millennium and dial a number, and I'd get there. Who needs to dial a number on a speed? Before I could dial the number, I'd be there. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little brain, what you take. Or be careful, little heart. You'll break. You better believe it. Little children, you feel the need of that vitamin tonight. That's something. There's a body waiting yonder, a body waiting to be received. People, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The devil is a deceiver. Even the wedding garment, you must wear it. It must be. Now we're at the evening time. The earthly body is now ready to be dissolved. See? And we're preparing to enter into the heavenly. Now the heavenly has its own image and markings, and it will not be like the earthy. The earthy was made for propagation, primarily for sex, which is the propagator. And you got the Muslims and the Mormons and everybody thinking over there in the other land, all these women will be there for all the men's pleasure. I got news for you. You ain't even going to be there. And if you do, and you ain't going to get there. And nobody else that does get there is going to have sexual pleasure. I'm just teaching you these things to show how perverted they are out there. And they claim they got something. Sure, they got something. What they got, I don't want it. It's called herpes, HIV, gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS in full bloom. Now they got that fasciitis. What's that pneumococcus thing that eats your flesh 1 inch an hour? What do you call that? The fasciitis? Anybody know what it is? It's a strep, but it's fasciitis something. It's not E. coli, that's the other baby. It's a strep, and it's a fasciitis that you got. I'm not good at fasciitis, or who knows. Anyway, they got it. Hey. Your body's just eating up on you as you're walking. The earthy body. I'll read again. The earthy body is now ready to be dissolved, and we're preparing to enter into the heavenly body. And we now feel the strange call of God to go to this great Eden. I'm going to pick up my shovel and my hoe. Yep. I'm going to work up a sweat down that road. And you guys that don't want to sweat, I'm going to make a bet. You ain't going to get there, you know. Never mind my dog girl. I got a point when I make my stupid verse. Sweat. Work. I want to get out of work. I want to retire. That kind of attitude, you'll die of a heart attack. Tony's got his garden. Frank's got his garden. So he's happy. He's already promising tomatoes, which he's growing to friends and all that. That's good, Frank. Good.
God will bless you. When you grow tomatoes for your friends and all because you love them, God will bless you. Okay, so it's, get there. Don't be afraid. You know how it is. Now, and before we can be born here, our little bodies cry for something that had to be provided, or we'd be an afflicted child here if we didn't get it. Yeah, you're born with something wrong with you. God has no afflictions up there. What's he telling you? In the change, you're perfect here, and you get the net results of perfection, which is physical there. Isn't it a sign in the world today that people are talking about all these defective genes in the human body? Where did it come from? Off the Word. Everything is a sign, 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 sign. Allergies, everything else. Merciful God, you think the pollen out there and those things was meant to bother us? That wouldn't bother us. It's the chemicals and things that people are poisoning us with. Well, come on. That stuff was here from the beginning. It's just messing around. God has no afflictions up there. They are everyone perfectly lined up. The bride, just exactly like the bride, like the groom was. Hallelujah. Now, that's a real one right there. That's a mouthful right there. That's an eternity right there. Everybody lined up. The bride just like the groom. The Word manifested in its season. Ha! Ah, perfect manifested message. Hey, the bride is exactly like him, though you and I hardly dare to claim it. Perfect manifestation in a season. But every imperfection here done away with to get the real perfection there. The negative moving to the positive. And the positive is Jesus in the glorified body. And the bride will be just like him. See, God grant tonight, children, each and every one of you, there is a heaven to go to. There is a hell to stay away from. How many minutes? Huh? Ken? Well, I can stop there because Brother Branham is going to now tell us his little vision of beyond the curtain of time. And if we survive here to get here next Wednesday, I'll just have to just tell you, hey, we're going to take up the vision. Now where Brother Branham tells us there's a heaven to get to, where he has a little bit of a preview, and the preview is not even heaven. Now, just to stop in our place. But it is heaven in the sense it's certainly up in another atmosphere, another level. So, all right. The big question is, are you more full of the Holy Ghost than you were when you came in?
Amen.
Well, thank you. That's the best I've heard for a long time. I'm ready to believe that you and I are going on to glory. And you know how it is. The blessed Lord addeth no sorrow. There's no excess baggage. Bless God, it gets rid of the excess baggage and puts the real thing in there. Gets rid of the fool's gold, puts in the real gold. Gold tried in the fire. Yep. Guided by the Word. Amen. Let's rise and be dismissed. A little bit of lunch out there for us guys that want to hang around, eat, and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word now and the time we've had together, fellowship around of the Word as we know it in Jesus Christ our Lord vindicated. Only hoping and trusting, Lord, that we have said it actually as it is. And then not only so, Lord, but even beyond that, according to a true motive in our hearts, and that is we do know, Lord, we want to be right in. And we simply look at this correctness, Lord, as we find it given to us today through vindication and lay it to heart that we are believing it right, trusting definitely, Lord, that we are. And for your not only for your honor and glory, Lord, though that is in truth in a measure, but for our own good to get there, the heaven to gain and the hell to shun. The interim stopping off place of Brother Branham and the bride and the saints of the seventh age, if some of us go on ahead. But then to come back and to take up residence and in the Garden of Eden and to work. And how blessed it'll be to work because it's going to be fruitful work. The bugs won't be eating it and this and that won't be going on. It'll be marvelous, Lord, to come back and know that there's genuine fruitage again. No mess up, no mix up. But going on, hallelujah, Lord, that's what our hearts desire, to get there. And perhaps many times we don't realize what that vitamin we're crying out for, that continuity that we want to go to where there won't be those interferences, Lord. No, like when we're maybe trying to pray some morning and the phone rings and now that just blows it to smithereens. Who's on the phone, Lord? It's so many things come along, but over there, the old devil won't be there, and his emissaries won't be there, and nobody there but Christ and the bride, we believe, and the attending angels, and the glory of God, and everybody in harmony working.
Oh, Lord, what a tremendous time that will be where women can be women. They don't have to worry about being molested, and men don't need to worry about being enticed. And the whole thing today, a boiling over sex part of corruption, which is so filthy, it's ending up in homosexuality, which must be condemned and destroyed. God, get us out of this mess, we pray. And if we don't want to get out of here, put something in our hearts, Lord, is going to make us want to get out of here. Sighing and crying over sin, of unbelief and all these things, Lord. Until it becomes a place where we look for your glory, Lord, and we pine on the one hand, rejoice on the other, knowing we have been delivered, knowing the word here cannot be changed that the prophet gave us, cannot be undermined, cannot be underestimated, cannot be overestimated. Why? Because it's going right to the heart, to the target. And we believe that this morning, Lord. May your people realize we're now on the one-to-one confrontation, surely marching to heaven to meet with our blessed God incarnate at that time, who we'll see face to face, even as we are in this particular measure through the prophet. For all these things, Lord, we look to you and thank you for them. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Father, even as we have that word given us now. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, and ministered through a bride down here for his excellence in Jesus' name.